Hi, and welcome back to the podcast. This is the One More Book podcast. And today I have a co-host. Perfect, because I'm always talking to myself. I have a co-host, a very dear friend, and someone who loves books just as much as I do. And I'll let her introduce herself.
Thank you. Hi. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so happy that you picked me to be your co-host. So to all our listeners, I am Lily, Linder or Lily. Friends and family call me Lily. And I'm really excited to be here today with Florence and to do this book podcast together.
Great, great. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Have some tea. We are having tea.
We're having some charcoal roasted oolong tea.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Something different from my tea bags. Terrible.
By the way, tea bags are not tea. Just FYI. That's a different story.
I think we'll probably have to start a tea podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Just that. I love tea. And it kills me when I see my dear friends drinking tea bags. Because I'm like, no, that's not tea. Okay, that's a different day.
Yeah, so as we enjoy our tea, I have a list of a few questions that I thought would help us get to know each other.
Yeah.
So, the first question is, what inspired you to be part of this podcast?
You.
I'm bringing the conversation back to me. As you can tell.
Now, what inspired me? I love books. As long as I can remember, since I was a little girl, I've always loved reading. I've always loved books. And being a mom, reading is where I go for some me time. It's where I find pleasure, and I've read a lot of books. But what really inspired me was you suggesting, or actually following you like for the past year or so with your One More Book podcast, and you talk about these books, you talk about these stories. So I was like, you know what? I read so many stories and they stay with me. Why not talk about them? You know, why not be part of a project where we can talk about these stories?
Yeah.
So that's really was my Warren main inspiration. Even though, like, I'm not really good in public speaking and I'm terrible with social media and I don't like my pictures being taken or being posted.
You know what?
I will adjust.
You know what? I think it works perfectly because then I'm like the opposite. Mm-hmm. I've been in social media for some time because of my other fashion business where it's a lot, it's people want to see you. So for me, I felt like I wanted to share about books because somehow the kids grew up and I had more time to read. And I remember it was actually Donata, a mutual friend, who told me, because she was seeing me sharing about books on my fashion page, which doesn't make sense.
It's like, okay.
She was like, oh, please stop. I have a friend who's in a book club. And then she introduced me to you and to the book club. And then, because I also have a lot of friends who don't read. So I would just be mostly listening to people on the internet and not having this one-on-one conversation. So then the book club really helped.
The Fundisani.
The Fundisani, it really helped. But then I felt like, because we only meet once a month.
If we meet.
If we manage to meet. So then it's like you're only reading one book in a whole month. What about the others?
Exactly.
That's where.
And I remember when we met for the last meeting with Fundisani, it was me, you, and Sunny. And we ended up talking about so much more than just the books.
Yes.
Like, we connected. And I think in a way that's also where, for me, was like, oh, I really like Florence. We can talk about different subjects. We kind of also have the same interest. We read the same books. So I was like, you know what? Let's take this further. Let's do this.
No, perfect. So it's like just different worlds meeting.
It's really great.
And then the next question is, what are some fun and unique things you can bring to the podcast field? And I think I'll just generalize it to be like to the book reading community or to the field, because we've talked about maybe doing an event together. So like, what do you feel like you as Lily can bring? It doesn't have to be something new, but maybe something you just feel like, oh, this is missing.
Like, I feel like I can, because I love tea, and usually tea connects people, and stories connect people. So I feel like I can bring this aspect of coming together and drinking tea in a circle and talking about books. You know, we can share bowl after bowl after bowl. And, you know, these bowls, they also tell stories. And we can just talk about the different books we've read. So my dream is one day to also build this community of tea. And also reading tea and books. I mean, that would be perfect.
Perfect.
So, yeah, because you'd sit and talk about books, but you could also sit and sip tea and just talk about different things.
I feel I feel the same too. Of course, not the tea part, because that's where I'm now learning. Because of you. But also, I feel like for me, there's just there's need for more diversity. You know. We are also different. We are two black women, but we have, in as much as we have things in common, we also have things that are diverse to us. You know,
different,
that's different. So I feel like
exactly
everyone is needed.
Everyone is needed. Exactly. Every we all matter. Every voice is needed. Yes. That's very true.
Yes.
And I think that's also the other thing where with me with this podcast. Reading different stories, reading different perspective, you know, and you bringing your own perspective and me bringing my own perspective. I think that's really interesting. You know, like we're going to see with the Hobbit of Toys. And, and I think sometimes also being a bookie, a book person, when your friend reads the same book as you and they don't like it, you feel like, you feel like offended a little bit. You take it personal, you know?
So true. How many times have we gone for the book club meeting? And I have like, I have feelings. There are things I want to share, you know? I'm like, oh, I hated this character. And then someone says, oh, I love
that character. And you're like, wait, what?
Did you read the same book?
Like, why? What's wrong with me?
Exactly.
And so, I think that's a narrative we need to dismantle in a way. That a book might work for you, but it doesn't work for your friend. It doesn't work for your sister. It doesn't work for your brother or your mother. And that's really okay.
It's okay. It's okay. It's also even, for me, it's helped me when I'm reviewing books. I don't say, I hated this book. It's more like, this book was not for me.
Because, it's not for you.
Because really I've now understood this book might have spoken to someone else.
Exactly.
You know? So I'm like, okay, it's just not for me.
It's just not for you.
So I won't be like, I'm giving it a 2-star. You know,
And I think that's really mean and shitty thing to do. Like, because the authors, they spend time, they put so much passion in writing and giving us this story. And just because we personally didn't like it doesn't mean we should put like 1-star. And when usually I see like 1-stars or like they say, oh, I didn't want to give it any star, it was so shit. In my head, I'm like, be respectful. You know, it's all about respect for other people's work. Because for me, if I was an author and I see like a 1-star and then I read it, it would crush me. It really does something to your psyche.
Me too.
So, I like not liking books, but I try to give it at least 3 or 4. So.
Yes, for trying.
Just for trying.
That's important. Cool. Another question is, why do you love reading? If, why do you love reading?
I love reading because I find myself in these stories. You know, sometimes I think, oh my God, maybe I'm the only one going through this. And then I pick up a book and then I read it and I can really connect myself to the character and all these experiences. It opens my eye to see you're not the only one going through this. There are other people there like you. And this kind of gives me the the courage or the perspective to keep going, to keep reading, to keep discovering.
Yeah.
But I also read to discover other cultures.
Yes.
You know, I read to travel. I read to drink tea. I read to make friends. I read to connect.
Yeah.
You know, the way I'm here with you now, I think books kind of like...
Yeah. Has made us, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Because we were friends before.
Yeah. Yeah, we were.
But I think we got closer talking about books.
About books.
And, you know?
Yeah. Probably most of the reasons what you've said also applies to me. And for me, I think something else is I read to escape.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's something I was doing even when I was a child.
Yeah.
Because there are worlds when you are growing up, I grew up in Kenya, so there's a lot that I could only experience in books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think that has stuck.
Yeah.
Even now, of course, living here, there are a lot of things that I read that I'm now experiencing.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, there are some things, some books that I'm reading and I'm like, you know.
Right? Yeah. I know this. That's a really good point. Like, you read to escape.
Mm-hmm.
I can say the same thing, because sometimes when I have a really hard day and I'm really stressed and overwhelmed from working, being a mom, being a sister, being a friend, I just want to pick up a book.
Mm.
And I pick up this book and I read it and like I just get lost. And you know, it's just, it brings me down, it calms me down.
Yeah.
So I also read to escape.
Yeah.
Like, I
have to admit there are even times when, like if I'm listening to an audiobook, and I come home, because then I usually want to like then listen to my family. And sometimes I'm in like a really, really good part.
Yeah.
I'm almost saying that please don't talk.
Yeah, like, give me 5 more minutes.
Let me just finish.
Yeah, just one more chapter. I always say just one more chapter.
Yeah.
Like my husband, he'll be like, are you done? I'm like, just one more chapter. Like, you can talk to me, but just one more chapter. Like, let me finish this.
Yeah.
And now I don't even say anything. I just say, a minute, please.
So it's really escaping,
yes,
you know.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
and it's not even in a bad way, like
no.
like you know, because when someone says escape, I think it has like a negative connotation.
Yeah, exactly.
Like something is wrong, you have to leave. No, it's actually like more fantasy. Yeah,
fantasy. Yeah. Being in your own world, being in your own head, and connecting with this story.
Yeah,
there's so much pleasure in it that people who don't read books don't really understand it. You know, they're like, oh, it's so weird.
Yeah, so true. And they feel like we are like, oh, you guys feel so, like you're
special.
You're special. Yeah, oh, yeah.
But bookworms are special.
Leading into the next question, which is what books or series got you into reading, if you can remember?
Can I remember? I have to say, like, when I was in high school, I read a lot, you know, these books that you have to read for school. But I have to say, looking back, even though this is not what I read anymore, Sweet Valley High. It's horrible.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I remember.
Sweet Valley Twins.
Yes.
They started as twins. And then they went to Sweet Valley University.
Oh,
I think Jessica and the sister. I can't remember
that. Yeah, I also can't remember the names anymore. But these books, you know, reading Sweet Valley High and talking about it with my friends in school, with my sister.
Yeah.
And this is where I started to read.
Yeah.
And then as I moved on, of course, I moved on to, like, you know, Audre Lorde, Toni Morrison, and all this other heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Sweet Valley High.
You know, and to think that they were not relatable at all.
They were not relatable.
To our lives.
No.
At all. But we were really into
it. We were into it. You know, we were into the story that it brought to us, but it was not really relatable.
No.
That's why I'm saying, this is not what I read right now.
Yeah, it's like now telling our kids, like, you are so lucky, you're reading books that from people, the characters look
like
you, you know,
they
you have a
like,
pick, you can pick out books with characters that look
exactly,
like you.
Exactly,
yeah.
And what about you? What book, what series did it for you?
I would say I read a lot of set books, you know, books that are high school you're supposed to read, because I'm the youngest in my family.
Yeah.
So my siblings, they have set books, mm-hmm. yeah, because we didn't have books, we didn't have like non-fiction mm-hmm. books. My parents just bought books for education,
yeah.
And they were the set books. So I remember reading The Concubine, uh-huh. I think that's from a Nigerian writer,
yeah.
I don't know who it was, if it's Elechi Amadi, I think. Well, I'm not so sure.
I know.
Me too.
But I know this title though.
The Concubine.
I just don't know who wrote it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I remember reading that because my siblings had it. Romeo and Juliet.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Things fall apart. Mm-hmm. No longer at ease. So you know, I was like, I don't know, 8 or 9.
Too much heaven. No longer.
Yes.
Is it too much?
Yeah,
things fall apart. Yeah, I have to admit, I have things fall apart, and I started reading it, and it's a really great book, yeah. But I do need to finish it.
I have it too. I just got it because I also want to start like collecting a bit of the classics. Yeah. And those are the first books I remember reading, and then my sister would bring Nancy Drew, they were like, Nancy Drew, Hardy Boys, yeah. The Secret Seven, you know, those, the famous five, yeah. Enid Blyton. So those are the books my mm-hmm. sisters could come home with. And yeah. I love them because I think I love the, there were mysteries, mm-hmm. you know, they were trying to like investigate things.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know why I was like, in my head, I can see George mm. and Anna and you know, like, they're blonde with blue eyes. But you,
it's like, you buy into this story itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that also reminds me, I read a lot of Jodi Picoult, mm. My Sister's Keeper, all this series of hers, you know, she also really got me into reading and always wanting to know what happened, you know?
Yeah.
And there's also this book called Sailing to Capri.
Okay.
I remember it was like 13 or 14, mm-hmm. and I was so much. It wasn't really appropriate for me to read it back then.
Yeah, yeah. But nobody was checking.
And I fantasized about this place, Capri, sailing to Capri.
Yeah.
So that when I actually went to Capri by myself.
Oh, cool.
And
so you could
many
actually.
Years later, I sailed to Capri.
Dream come true. Yeah.
Italy.
Yeah.
And I was like, my first stop is I have to go to this island called, this place called Capri Island.
Cool.
And it's a magical place.
Wow.
But you know, it's this book, it's a mystery there. You know, they're all in a boat together. They're sailing to Capri. And then there's a murder. There's a murder mystery.
Mm.
So it was like, this book really.
you relieved what you read.
Yes.
And I find it very, very funny that our parents. Mm-hmm. They never like, there was no parental control.
No,
you know, it was as long as they saw you with a book, though
you were good.
Oh, good.
You were
Read. Nobody was checking, is this PG-13 or
nobody was checking.
We got away with a lot. So,
And
I have to say, in as much as we were reading books that didn't represent us, they fed our like need to read.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they gave us. The stories, they gave us, you know, something to grasp on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's only later that you realize I was not represented in these books, you know?
Yes.
And I think as an adult, you make a choice to not want to read these books anymore
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
you don't see yourself, you know?
Yeah, so true.
And now we're lucky because we have a lot of books that represent us, a lot of stories.
Yes, we have. And things that you can really, you don't really have to imagine so much.
Yeah, exactly.
It's something that you've heard
there,
about.
And I think for me also being socialized, you know, in a white society, growing up in New York, going to school, I always read books by, you know, white people, white authors, you know, whether it was for history or for English class.
Yes.
You know. So I didn't have really a choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I had.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm an adult and I'm able to make a choice, I pick books by marginalized authors, you know, POCs.
Yes.
So that's, for me, it's really important to give them a voice, to make their voice heard.
I know. And it's even like giving the publishers a sign that there's interest.
There's interest.
Because recently I just realized, like, I was like, oh, they need to publish more books about from black authors. And and then I remember it's a business for
it's
them.
Business.
They don't care. They just want to sell books.
Yeah, exactly.
So if we don't buy these books, they're like, why should we print
them?
You know?
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
It's important. It's so important. Like, do you have a podcast that you listen to?
You know, usually when I start to cry. They're like diehard people who love podcasts.
Okay.
They love podcasts and they listen to it. And don't get me wrong, I love podcasts as well.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's not something I go to instantly.
Mm.
And I rarely also like listen to, like when I'm going to work, for example, I'm reading a book.
Okay. Yeah.
When I'm cooking, I'm with my kids in the kitchen, we're listening to, you know,
kids stuff, you know?
So for me to really carve up time to listen to a podcast, it's not very often. So I'm not going to tell you this is my favorite podcaster. But I do love podcasts, though. I really like it. When I do have a time to listen to it, I do listen to it.
Yeah.
I was listening to Black Girls Therapy.
Yeah, Black Girl Therapy.
I really like them. Yeah. This is really nice. Yeah. And sometimes I listen to them discussing Audre Lorde or just different books.
Yes.
But I don't really have a favorite besides the Black Girl Therapy.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
But I know you're like an avid podcaster, so what do you like to listen to?
I think I got into podcasts back in 2020. Mm-hmm. You know, like when the world went silent.
Yeah, COVID.
Then I think I needed someone to talk to or to listen to, you know, like a connection to the outside world. And I was tired of listening to my family. I was just like, anybody else out there, talk to me. And then I fell into the podcast world. Mm-hmm. And usually it's one podcaster talking about another podcast, you know, so kind of interconnects you. So there's a podcast, I would say a Kenyan podcast that I listen to.
Oh, there's a Kenyan podcast? Yes. Which one?
It's called IRIP. It's related, I promise. It's I love it because
send it to me.
I will send it to
I'll
you.
I'll come to you for podcast recommendations.
Yes, I think you'd love it because they're a group of three ladies. And they talk about different issues, and they also do like interviews. And what I love about them, which is maybe a bit elitist, they've lived outside the country. They went to school, like one was in the UK and one was in Australia, so they have like a more of a global perspective. I feel applies to me. At this time of my life, I can't listen to a full Kenyan podcast because I don't get so much.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's so much I can't relate to because I've missed a lot since moving away.
And I think it's also okay to admit that to ourselves. You know, as much as we are Kenyans, then we want to relate to everything Kenyans. We were not, we didn't grow up there, you know? And so I think it's also okay to say, okay, I can listen to Kenyan podcasts and I love listening to them, you know? But I cannot relate to everything they're talking about. And I don't want to pretend that I relate to everything they're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's okay, too.
Yeah. So that's one Kenyan podcast that I love.
Yeah.
And then because of, like, being in a running a business, business, I listen to one by, it's called Brown Ambition. It's by two ladies, they're Americans, Black Americans. One is a financial educator. So she's been in business for a long time. So I bought her book, and that's why I like
you have
listen.
To send me all this podcast.
I will. I will.
Send them my way.
I will.
That's
so
really cool.
I listened to that, and the co-star is she's a career coach. So it's very balanced because one person talks about business, and the other person talks about careers. So I'm always like, when my friends, our friends who are employed 9 to 5, so I'm like, when someone says, I feel like
I'm that friend. I'm not 9 to 5. Okay. 9 to 5. You're looking at one right now.
I have a friend who was like talking about, I'm thinking of maybe changing my place of work or something. I'm like, you need to listen to Brown Ambition, the career coach. You know,
I want to listen to her.
So I love that. I love that podcast. And then we've got Black Girl Therapy.
Yeah, Black Girl Therapy.
Yes, that is so important. Mm-hmm. It brought out, of course, therapy is very, very important for our community.
Yeah.
And then there's one called If Books Could Kill.
Oh,
yeah. And it's the only podcast by a male male podcasters, because I'm
That's interesting too. The, it's really like a female dominated this podcast world.
Is.
So it's good to also listen to some male.
Yeah, it's nice to have like a male perspective of things.
Mm-hmm.
And in this podcast they talk about well, let's just say they shred apart self-help books.
I'm not the biggest fan of self-help books. I find them too preachy. And
I
like some are very preachy, but some are good.
Some are good. I love when they shred some, because I find myself laughing. You know, I'm just like, oh, did you see that?
Yeah.
Or did you, you know, like, and the funny thing is they're both white.
Yeah.
So it's like, wow, if they can talk about books like that, you know, I'm like, why didn't I see that, you know?
Yeah.
And from a male perspective,
exactly.
It is so freeing.
Yeah, it's freeing and very, you're like, you know what? It's not just me. If they can do it, you know?
Yeah.
Because sometimes as a black person, when you disregard such books written by white people, self-help books, you know, then you come off as, you know, being prejudiced.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
You hate white people, you don't want anything to do with them. That's not true. We live in a white society, you know?
Yes.
We have to talk to them. We have to come together, you know? But that doesn't mean you have to pretend you like everything about this, you know? So that's really important.
Yeah, so that's the one of them. So yeah, those are the ones that I can say really I'm subscribed to. So like if there's a new website,
If Books Could Kill,
Brown Ambition,
Brown
Podcast, It's Related, I Promise.
It's Related, I Promise.
And of course, Black Girl Therapy,
Black
that we both would
nice, okay, I want those. I want to listen to those.
I think I'll also share them on the show notes for this episode.
Yeah.
So if anyone's
interested.
Yes. Yeah, so I think when did you start reading? That's something we've already
talked about.
Yeah.
What challenges do you think this podcasting project will be the hardest to overcome?
Girl,
You know, both of us being mothers and having our own business and also working full time in the social life, it is hard to find time.
Yes.
To, you know, put in time. Because it's not just you meet and then you talk. You have to, there's like the whole, you have to read again, you have to take notes, you have to plan it, you know. You cannot just be like, okay, when is it?
No.
So it's, for me, the biggest challenge is finding the time
finding
to
the
plan.
Time. Yeah.
Because reading I love, I make time for that, you know? But you know, when you love something, but then you also have to plan about it or do an event about it.
Yes.
It feels like work.
Yes.
And what we don't like is work.
Yes.
Added to a already full plate.
So true.
For me, it will be just like finding time.
Scheduling.
Saying, you know what? I have 2 hours now. I'm going to do this with the podcast.
Yeah. No, but I have to like comment us, because we've done a good job. I mean, there's been a lot of planning to make this happen.
But it's all you. I mean, now with this app, I think this is really cool, this Notion app.
I know.
I was like, this is really cool.
I know, because I feel like we have to write down a lot of stuff. Because in our heads, there's so much, so many ideas, you know. So it's good when that we have somewhere to write them down.
Yeah.
And you've helped so much, you know, like when you wrote already a few points, then I was like, okay, this is good. I can move from here.
Yeah.
So I feel like in as much as for me, it's a challenge, but it's also a challenge on the positive side, because it's making me be like proactive.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes I feel like reading can be, it's relaxing. And then when now you have to talk about what you've read with someone, you're like, oh yeah, Yeah. Anything. You know, you exactly.
You have to put your thoughts together, you know.
And
I think for us, we're starting with books that we already read. Like, yes. I read this book 2 years ago, you know, and it's not fresh in my mind.
Yes.
And that's the other assumption, you know. People think you read books and you should know everything about it. You should know about everything. You know, like, for these 2-3 books, I had to go back and reread them and take notes,
yes.
you know?
Yes.
So I think that's starting with something we both already have read.
Yeah.
It's good because we're able to talk about it.
So
but that
true.
Means we have to go back and do notes and plan. And
So true. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that scheduling is a challenge, but also like it will.
But we make it work.
Yes.
So
we'll do what we can.
Exactly.
And it's not like, it's not a must. So we'll do what we can.
And learn as we go.
Yes. I think that's... what kind of books do you read? Do you like to read? That's I feel like the last question.
For me, it depends. I like to read everything except self-help books. No, I'm kidding.
So, I mean, like,
what do you like to read?
I think my I'm a mood reader, which is bad. It's terrible because then I'm all over the place.
That's true. I think the same way. Sometimes I'm reading like 4 books at the same time, you know? And if one book is really stressing me, I put it down.
Yes.
I'm not afraid to put books down. I'll be like, you know what? I will get back to you when my mood is a bit better. You're stressing me out.
Tell me about it. It's even, for me, it's gotten to a point where I will read, like, if I'm reading like a really deep book, like it's really with heavy topics, then I will finish it and then I will need time
before I pick up a different book.
And then sometimes I'm like, we need to move on.
But you're still recovering from the last read.
I'm like, get yourself together.
You're like, when you pick up a book, you're like, what is this about? If it's like the last one, like,
no,
I'm gonna shelve you for later.
Yes.
Like, I just mentally, I cannot. I need something easy, quick, something fun, something you like.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So now it's helped me. I've understood myself.
Yeah.
So now, like, when I plan my books.
Yeah.
I plan them accordingly, so I know like heavy light.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm just not like. Down and then I'm going down. So
yeah, like I was never really into like fantasy. But now what book did I read? The Children of Blood and Bone. A friend recommended it to me. I don't know, do you know
No.
It's been really like popular among books, Instagrammers
and stuff.
And I read this 2 years ago and I actually liked it. It tells The Children of Blood and Bone. You can check it out.
I can.
I'm mostly into like contemporary fiction, history.
Yeah, history.
Yeah, history.
I recently read The Graveyards of
Short Stories.
Short Stories. And it's fantasy based. Mm-hmm. So actually it's like I've realized it's Afrofuturism thing. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So now I have like
that's kinda like the same one with The Children of Blood and Blood.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like and it's not a book. If someone had told me this is Afrofuturism, I would be like, no. But because I went in not knowing,
I did.
So I'm like, okay, this opens up something new to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you share that with people, because I shared it online and someone told me, oh, you should read this. I was like, okay, you know.
So I'll check it out.
So it's I can't really these days say, oh, I love this.
It's the same with me. Exactly. And the other interesting thing is like when people gift you books, because my friends, they know I love books. Mm. I love to read. So usually birthdays or Christmas, I either get tea or a book. That's really usually it. Sometimes wine, because I also like wine.
Yeah.
That's me things I usually have. But your friends will never dare to gift me tea because they know
they
I have
know.
Like a,
yeah.
But like books, they do try. Actually, my friends know me now. They know what I like to read. And usually I get really good books from that. It's also important.
That's something I'm planning to do for my birthday next. Because, you know, like kids' birthday, they always have like a list of
things they want, right?
I'm going to be like...
You read your own birthday present list. Where do you read? Where do I read? I read at home, I read on the train, I read in bed, I read outside, I read on the plane.
Okay.
I read when I go to a restaurant and I'm meeting somebody and they're not there yet, I read.
So you always
everywhere.
have a book.
I always have a book with me.
Okay.
I always have a book. So the two things you always find in my bag is a book and tea.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay.
And sometimes when we're going out with my husband, he's like, you are not bringing a book. I'm like, no.
Just in case.
Maybe.
I think now is when I've really gotten into reading physical books, because mm-hmm. I'm more of an audiobook person. Slowly now I'm reading, carrying books around, because I used to feel like, oh, it's heavy, I'll forget it somewhere.
I love physical books.
But now I'm like, okay. Even like yesterday, I had a book that I was reading, and yeah. I was almost finishing it. Mm-hmm. I was like, take the other book too. So I was walking around with two books. I was like, who are you?
Yeah, they are heavy, but so, I don't know. I just love having the physical book.
Yeah.
But if it's like really a lot of pages, then I'll do Kindle. I also love Kindle, okay. So I have it like digital.
Ah.
But like books are like my emotional support, so I still need to see that physical copy of it.
Okay.
I love just,
you do. Mm-hmm. I can't read in bed. I try to, and then I fall asleep. Like, it really makes me, like, relaxes me.
Yeah,
so I'd rather read early in the morning when mm-hmm. I'm fresh. Mm-hmm. But when I'm going to bed, I'll be like, just one page. Or I'll read, and then in the morning, I'll see where my bookmark is.
Uh-huh.
And when I go back, I'm like, did I read this? I can't remember. So, like, do not read in bed.
Oh, I love reading in bed. And sometimes it's really, like, dangerous, because if I have, like, a really good book, I'm already in
then
bed.
You want for us.
No, I want to finish it. Ah. Like, just one more chapter. And
okay. And
Michelle is like, are you done? Are you done? I'm like, just one more chapter.
No,
and
but...
And one chapter turns into, like, 10 chapters, and I'm finished. I'm like, wow, that was great.
No, it feels good to have something to keep you busy. Yeah. And that's not your phone.
Exactly.
It's really helped me, like, this attachment to my phone, especially in trains or on the bus. So I'm always like, okay, phone away. And
really brief,
so good.
Nice.
Cool. Thank you guys. That was our first episode. We did it.
Yes.
And this is, tune into the next episode. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we have more coming. We have more stories. So tune in. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you next.
Bye.
Yay. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast, and we hope that you enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you. See you next time on One More Book.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, and don't forget to subscribe, follow us on social media handles, and tell a friend to tell a friend.
Yes. This is One More Book. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.